Podcast, the people they have come, come to listen to us speak of the things that have already been spoken, including the clues for Mix 94.5's The Chosen One.
Yes, come hither and hear some clues.
Hi. Cast yourself towards this pod. All right.
You going to go?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, knock them off.
Okay, we got R&B Fridays.
Mm. Red.
Goal.
No, come on.
Goal! Lionel Messi, go Barcelona, goal!
And Northeast.
They're the clues. Mm. Put them together, give us a call 131060 during the day and find out if you've won the money for the chosen one.
Yep.
$25,000 up for grabs. Good luck.
This is Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Quite the interesting chat ahead of us, guys.
Yeah, we were all having a bit of a chat about, well, it's often called the world's oldest profession.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we speak of prostitution.
Well, and it's changed words, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, of course it has.
You don't call it prostitution anymore. It's sex work.
Sex work, yeah. And I guess, you know, when you say that, the implication always seems to be, well, that's what men do. Men will pay for sex from a sex worker.
Yeah.
Now, we're not making a judgment call on what that is or where the moral line is, but it does always seem to be a story about men paying for sex.
But it's not.
But it's not just dun, dun, men, dun, dun, is it?
No, it's not.
No.
Cherry Dana is not your typical Aussie girl next door. She employs male escorts for sex, and I quote, because it's too hard to find boyfriends in Sydney. She joins us on the phone now. Good morning to you, mate.
Good morning.
Cherry, there's been a bit of a stigma around, I guess, sex workers and what they do for many years and people paying for sexual interaction. But do you think this is becoming a bit more common now?
I think that definitely it's something that people should be more open-minded about, especially females. I think from my personal point of view, I find it's just easier because it's more discreet and there's less ego attached.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole male escort route seems a little bit easier for me. Emotionally and mentally.
Yeah.
Cherry, there's got to be a moment, or there had to have been a moment, where you went, I've had gut of this. I'm going to stop doing the boyfriend thing. I'm going to start paying for it. Do you remember what that moment was?
Yes, I think I dated one guy and I just had issues. He couldn't quite get ready in the bedroom. And that was also another reason behind booking a male escort that I thought, well, they're kind of there to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, I was really nervous the first time I booked one. I don't regret it. I've met three times and each experience has been great.
Cherry, what's the going rate for a male escort? What would I pay for a warm-up, consensual sex, and then maybe a brief cuddle afterwards?
So they charge on an hourly rate. So I paid $500 an hour.
Okay.
But I was lucky enough that some of them stayed a bit overtime.
Okay. I'm currently charging $35.99,
right?
And I'll make you a cup of tea at the end of it, but I'm not getting a lot of action.
Is that sort of standard rate, Cherry, or are you kind of picking from a bit higher up the tree?
I think you can get a little bit less around the $350-$400 mark, but all my experiences have been $500.
Okay. And what about, you know, the idea of intimacy on another level too that one would have with a longer term lover? I mean, do you miss that, or you have enough of that going on in your life with friends and whatnot that this is just for that physical intimacy that we all require at times and then move away? No strings. Fantastic.
I think it's like once every like 4 months, 5 months. Like, I work a lot and I'm kind of constantly always running on stress and So it's kind of the physical connection that I miss with somebody, and that is when sex comes into play. You kind of want somebody, that emotional touch and connection, even if it's for an hour or 2 hours, it's still better than not having it at all.
Sure. Yeah, right. Yeah, makes sense.
Is it all cash, or do they have tap and go?
Cash. I wish they had tap and go.
I think it's a great idea, though, because the number of times I've had conversations with my girlfriends and also when I was single too, where sometimes when you do miss that intimacy with someone and you want to just have that physical connection, sometimes it draws you into relationships you don't want to be in. That later you're like, this is complicated because I don't actually want this with you.
Mm.
It sort of makes you make bad choices. So by putting the sex with somebody else and removing that connection, it means that you're kind of meeting someone on a different level where, you know, you're looking for something better, I suppose.
I kind of look at it also, it's your choice. You already know what the outcome's going to be. There is no room to be ghosted by somebody. There is no room to keep the whole text and chat going on. And there's no miscommunication with things about what each other wants. The want is the same in this situation.
Cherry, if you do have a bad experience, like what's the deal afterwards? Like, can you actually say to them, sorry, that wasn't worth the $500, hand a bit back? Or like, is it, that's the transaction, sorry, you get what you get?
Well, it is a physical transaction, so I don't think you can quite get a refund on that.
Right.
I think it comes down to communication. Each of my experiences, they've always asked me how I feel, what I like. Is there anything in particular that they want me to do, things that they won't do? Boundaries and communication is everything in this experience.
Yeah, they're working. They're professionals.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow, this is extraordinary. And honestly, we can't thank you enough for just being so candid about it and your honesty around the conversation. We really appreciate it. Thank you for joining us this morning, Cherry.
No worries.
You know what? I think it'd be the kind of thing that if you talked about it with your girlfriends, I think if one of my friends said, this is what I did and could give a recommendation, I reckon other friends would go, actually, it's worth a shot. I think it's maybe it's just that fear of reaching out in the first place and going, where would I find such a person? Who do I go to?
You are never speaking to my wife again.
He's back at work after wiping the floor in the state election and almost wiping out the Liberal Party. How does it feel to have so much power over us? Please welcome the Premier of WA, Mark McGowan.
You're unbelievable. A genuine pleasure as always, Premier, to have you on the show. Good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for that lovely welcome.
Mark, we love catching up with you because normally we get to have a little bit of fun, but as the news would have it, the timing's gone and made it so we have to actually ask you genuine questions we need answers to.
That's always dangerous.
Isn't it boring? Bloody COVID-19. It just won't let up, will it?
Look over there. There's something funny.
Oh, no.
Let's not talk about something serious.
Oh, no. Hey, Premier, yeah, what's happening with this McCure Hotel situation?
Okay, well, it's quite concerning. So we've had transmission from one room to another, across a corridor, through two doors. So we're doing a whole range of tests on anyone who was on the floor. That's all been done. The people in question are still in quarantine. It's obviously been something we've picked up through what's called genome testing. So it just goes to show that COVID keeps being a risk and a problem, as it is all over the world, if it can do that.
Well, so of course that leads into the question then around this, the COVID red tape around ANZAC services that's seen a few RSLs cancel their dawn service and with full footy crowds returning and obviously all those footy people jumping on trains shoulder to shoulder, that's made people kind of go, well, hang on, ANZAC services have stopped or been downsized. So can you clear it up for us how that decision's been made?
So we act on health advice, and the health advice was, and I questioned this quite a lot, was that Anzac Day could still go ahead. They just have to be COVID-safe plans. So there's 100 Anzac Day services taking place around Western Australia. Some of them are going to be limited in size. Some of them are going to have, you know, the check-in systems that you see in shops and shopping centres and that sort of thing. But there's 100 of them going on. There's a handful that have decided they didn't want to do that. When it comes to footy, of course, you go to the footy, you've got a ticket. You know where you're sitting, we can track and trace people. Anzac Day service is not so easy. I understand the concern, but they're still going on all over the state. So if you want to go to an Anzac Day service, dawn service, march, whatever it is, there's 100 of them going on in suburbs and towns around WA.
Mm. Premier.
So I think a lot of people think it's all been cancelled. It hasn't. There's about two or three. There was two I was advised yesterday, but it might be two or three others that aren't happening, but there's still 100 happening. So if you go to the RSLWA website, you'll find 100 of them you can attend.
Okay. Premier, we'll continue with it. Just one more final, I guess, serious question from me. I manage an esports team called Pentanet.gg.
You might even have to explain what esports is. I didn't know until we started working together.
Professionally paid gamers who play competitively. And they just won the national championship.
That'd be good for your aerobic fitness, wouldn't it?
Yeah, very much
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They're really good.
Very health conscious.
They've got exercise programs. They eat healthy. They're good. They just won the national championship. We're about to ship them off to play Iceland to play the best of the international teams on the world stage. But we've had a local Indigenous artist actually design a WA Indigenous jersey. His name's Tyrone Wayagana. We're going to make you an honorary no-cap. That's the nickname of the team. But I need to know what we need on the back of the jersey. You've got two choices. You can have Premier or you can have State Daddy.
Which would you prefer?
Premier or State Daddy?
Yes.
Well, what are they going to think in Iceland? They see State Daddy written on the back.
Well, that's up
to
them.
What would they think of that?
Totally up to them.
The Icelandic people are basically Scandinavian, and they take things a certain way.
They do.
So they might, that's right. They think of everything through a certain lens, Scandinavians. So I don't know. They might take that the wrong way. They might think that our esports team are over there for another purpose.
I love that the only reason that you're swaying towards Premier is because they might misinterpret it, not because you have a problem with a shirt that would say State Daddy.
Yeah. Okay, so State Daddy it is. Just wear it here in WA.
Can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
People keep saying this and no one will tell me what it actually means.
You're the daddy of the state.
No one says, I've had to ask my kids, what does it mean? And they don't. They won't tell me,
You're the dad of the state. You make
the
rules.
Daddy. Okay.
You know, you take care of us. State Daddy.
I have a feeling I mean something else. But anyway, go for State Daddy. Go for State Daddy.
State Daddy.
People love it.
All right, we're locking it in, you beauty.
I can't believe we're playing esports in Iceland against... Remember that movie? Didn't they come from Iceland? Wasn't the singing competition?
The singing competition.
Yeah. Is it like that?
Eurovision kind of thing.
Yes, Eurovision. You're over there, you know...
And it's a brave new world premiere.
The only other Iceland that I remember as a kid from watching in movies was when they played the Mighty Ducks and they were Team USA. Now, that was an absolute corker of a game, and I think this is going to be the same. But yes, what an age we live in, Matt.
Yes. We've gone from genomic testing of COVID-19 to esports in Iceland.
When you next come in, Mark, we'll have a jersey for you.
Say, Daddy, all right, I'm sure that will... That will be a keeper.
Hey,
that'll be great.
Just before we let you go, Wahlburgers, anything? Anything yet? Wahlburgers in Rockingham?
No, Wahlburgers, I haven't seen any action on the Wahlburger front, although I did see in the paper today, Taco Bell.
We're going to end up with Taco Bell before Wahlburgers.
Did you?
What?
When I was about in my early 20s in the 1990s, I went to America with my brother and we travelled around for 8 weeks and we ate Taco Bell every day.
Was it any good?
I actually quite liked it. Yeah, I quite liked it. It was much better than some other fast foods, I won't name, but I reckon it'll be all right.
Oh, there you go.
And since you got that stent put in, everything's fine.
All right, Premier, State Daddy, pleasure to catch up with you as always, Mark McGowan. We'll speak to you again very soon, mate.
Thanks very much, everyone.
All right, catch you later. There you go.
State Daddy.
Look at the joy on his face.
I'm very excited. So one, I got to mention esports on the radio on a broad-based audience program, but also State Daddy. That's fantastic. You guys need to think of your gamer tags as well.
Oh, okay.
By the way, yeah.
The Polish workhorse.
Polish workhorse.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to need more time.
State Mama? I don't know. Pete, Matt and Kimber.
St. John of God's Hospital's orthopaedic care will move you. And this bloke moves us every time he hits the footy field.
Allen, unbelievable!
It's Pete, Matt and Kimber's very own West Coast Eagle, Oscar Allen.
Yeah, we're laying claim to him. I mean, we love the bloke anyway, but far out. You've been banging him through those big sticks lately, mate.
Five
How are
majors,
you?
Five majors, son.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been an exciting start to the year. I think as a team we've played pretty well and I've been lucky to get on the end of a couple.
Yeah. Now, you're being dubbed as AFL's next superstar. How do you feel about your income being discussed publicly.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. I suppose not many normal, well, not normal people, not many other people have their life spoken about in such a public format. But
I have no idea how much more money these guys are making than me.
Yeah.
Heaps
more. No clue.
Heaps. It's pretty funny. It's often a topic of getting the piss taken out of me at the football club now whenever I stuff up. Blokes having to laugh and say, mate, you're worth nothing than what they're saying. They don't know how bad you actually are. So that's always good fun with the fellas. But I suppose it's just the nature of the industry I'm in.
Yeah.
You get spoken about publicly, and that's probably why we get paid the amount we do. You've got a lot of things off-field you need to deal with.
Mm. Yeah, but it's because your form's fantastic, which is wonderful, and you've put in all the hard work. You deserve it. But as a side, you've done this at home. You've played great footy at home. But now you've got to do it away and at old Cardinia Park on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not easy.
No, we haven't won there since 2006. So I was 6 years old.
Really long, yeah.
I was 6 years old last time we won there, and no one on our list has won in Eagles jumpers there. So
wow.
It's been a long time, and I think we're due for a win. So looking forward to the challenge.
Mm.
Now, mate, you may have heard us talking about this moments ago, but Maddie's got a yes day coming up tomorrow.
I did hear about this, yeah.
I personally, we felt like he's sort of struggled to actually bring the bulldog out in him, you know, and go after this a little bit.
Yep.
Have you got a suggestion for him?
What's your guilty pleasure? So
I can't say it on air.
So for me, food-wise, my partner Lorna, she's amazing. Whenever I have a really good game or a really, really poor game, I come home, there's a big pack of salt and vinegar chips. Because that's my guilty pleasure whenever I've done well or done really poorly.
Daily diet.
So, do you have any guilty pleasure food-wise?
Look, I do like an ice cream.
An ice cream?
Yeah.
Ice cream cake or individual ice cream?
No, like you're sort of, what have I discovered recently? The Murray River or Murray Valley something or other.
Oh, salted caramel connoisseur one?
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah. So, I'd probably go a bit of that action.
Yeah. Mm. A lot of us at the football club have been known to get the old Freddo party cakes.
They're good.
And knock that off in a single seating
really?
On our own. That's a really bad guilty pleasure if we're staying away on an away trip.
They're so good because they've got the little Freddo heads through the cake. So every now and again, as you bite into the cake, you come across a crunch from the oh, my God.
I've not discovered this.
And then, and then how many laps around the oval to work off a cake?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I don't like thinking about it. We'll just leave it at that, I think.
Okay. I'm prepared to give that a go.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Well, listen, all the best against the Cats this weekend. When are you on the plane over?
12 o'clock this afternoon. So be heading to the airport pretty soon and taking off.
Is this your flying attire?
No, we're in full club apparel.
Oh, really?
We've actually got a chartered flight today, so that'll be cool and fun. So
okay.
I think we're set off in a different terminal. So looking forward to it.
Very nice.
Who gets to sit up the front of the plane? Just quickly.
Not me. So this is actually a point of controversy. So there was never a set criteria, and for a period of time, it was height on the way over and then experience on the way back.
Yeah.
And I think early in my first year, I might have accidentally snuck up to 1A, sitting next to Shannon Hearn. And I think Chris Maston at the time, one of the senior players, walked past, gave me a dirty look, and from that day, I've been nowhere near the front of the plane. So,
you're now pushing the trolley.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm serving the dessert and stuff during the flight. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Here's your Freddo.
Yeah, exactly right.
Good luck, mate, against the Cats, as we mentioned. 11:45 our time on Saturday. Oscar Allen, have a great game.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Hear ye! Hear ye! Hear ye! Hear ye!
London Court is up for sale.
London Court, our old friend.
London Court.
That sweet little spot in the city.
Oh, it means a lot to me, London Court.
Does it?
It does. My mum worked in City Arcade, and so I was in Hay Street Mall a lot as a kid. And there is something about that mock Tudor, because it ain't 400 years old, but it kind of looks like it is, that just my little imagination just used to go mad.
Mm, yep.
Absolutely mad. I loved it.
I think I used to go to London Court for two particular reasons. One was to go to Devlin's and see if I could buy a cigar.
Okay.
Such a stupid thing looking back on it, but we thought we were so cool. And also to go and visit a girl that worked there.
Okay.
On occasion.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. I mean, I feel like I used to go there for a lolly shop and Ugg boots. But I don't really recall much about it. Like, I must say, growing up in Perth, even though I know London Court, I've walked through it a bunch of times, it never felt like the shops were for me.
Right.
They were like jewelers or watchmakers places that like adults went into.
Absolutely.
That were not for me. But it's for sale for the first time since it was built in 80 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you were saying that how much was it when it was originally built?
It was £225,000 when they bought it originally and created it. And now they think it's going to sell for over $30 million.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Can I just ask, does this little thing come with it as well? The chiming clock?
With those poor bloody jousting horses and men that look like they need a bit of CRC.
Yeah, I mean, it has been here for a long time, and they're saying too that the zoning regulations mean that now if you were to purchase it, you can turn them back into apartments.
Yes.
Because it used to be apartments. Originally, it was 53 shops, 55 offices and 24 residential flats. But now it's all retail. It's 34 mall-level shops, 57 commercial and office tenancies. Mm. Over the three levels, but you can turn them back into apartments if you purchase it.
It is heritage listed, so there would be a lot of red tape to get through, I'm
probably,
sure.
Yeah.
But it's a cool place.
It's a cool place, but that is a great idea.
Mm.
I mean, one of the things that we have had issues with, I mean, Subiaco's rife with it as well, but through the city that it constantly is being complained about is that there's not enough people around there to be able to fill shops for retail.
Yes.
And the shops are empty. So imagine turning it into a really cool, piece of history / residential area where you can actually bring people into the city and inner city living and then bring money into the CBD as well. I think it's a great idea.
Sounds great, but you know what happens when people move into cool areas and they start complaining about the very clubs and pubs that are playing live music that made the area cool in the first place? Does that mean there's going to be a whole lot of people complaining about the clock chiming with the jousting horses every 15
minutes? You're just trying to go
minutes?
To sleep.
Yeah.
And then this.
Yeah.
It's 1 a.m. Pete, Matt and Kimber. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the musical, is starring a very good friend of ours. Her name is Janelle Koenig, and she's playing Cheryl. And Janelle joins us now. Good morning to you, lovely.
Good morning, mate. So nice to see you all again.
You too.
Yeah, I am playing Cheryl, the least feminine character in the show.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Well, so exciting.
Also, you love a costume and a dress up, so probably a bit disappointed you can't be a drag queen.
Absolutely.
Just a little.
I do get an excellent mullet, though, so that's something.
Now, my love, everyone will know the film, of course,
yes.
But not many people, or people may not know that it was turned into a musical a few years ago, right?
Absolutely. Mm. And it's a joy because all those people that say, I don't like musicals, I hate musicals, will love this because the music is so iconic. It's disco.
Yes.
It's all those classic disco tracks turned into a musical with drag queens.
I'm in.
And the bus.
I'm in.
What's not to love?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be shiny and glittery and bright.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very exciting.
It's not off-Broadway. It's off-Causeway. At Crown. That's where it is.
Have you started rehearsing?
Oh, mate, can't you tell from the way I'm standing? It's a full-on, it's a dancing, singing, acting extravaganza. It's a triple threat musical.
Oh,
and
you are
a triple threat. No, I'm not, mate.
Yes,
I'm one and three-quarters threat.
Right, okay.
Believe you me, because now I've seen how dancers work.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And every morning we've got to do this whole, let's wake up our bodies, dance workshop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my body prefers to be woken up by bacon. That's how, not my body sounds like one of those glow sticks cracking.
Yes, I do.
But these dancers are just incredible. And they can just learn these routines. I've never done dance.
That's the bit that spins me out.
It's like a language.
They see it once and they've got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a language and I do not speak it, Matthew.
No, I don't either.
And the tough thing is when you're doing that warm-up, that's when you're like, can we just put the warm-up in the show?
Yeah.
like I'm puffed. And then they're like, right, now onto the moves. And you're like, I've got nothing left in the tank.
And, of course, this has been done by Platinum Entertainment, who
I did
We Will Rock You with.
Yes.
So you've got yourself in the cast. Who else is in there, Pete?
Pete Rose Thorne is playing the lead, the Terrence Stamp role, if you know the movie well, Bernadette, and he is extraordinary. And he can sing.
Can he?
Yes. He can really sing. That sounds like I'm more surprised than I should be.
Well, I'm surprised.
I don't really link him to singing.
No.
I can't think of a time he's been singing.
No, he's got a very beautiful voice. It's a very tender voice.
Okay.
I love it.
Have you done a dress rehearsal yet? Have you seen him in drag?
I have seen bits and pieces.
Right.
The costume department is extraordinary. There are two people busily putting costumes together as we speak, and it's just there's sequins and feathers and leather and all sorts of things everywhere. The costumes, I'm in about 8 costumes, just me.
Wow.
Wow. Well, we got a little taster. You mustn't have seen it, Pete, but when they first announced that the show was coming to Perth, they got Pete and a couple of others in a helicopter and then landed at Crown and got out on the grass, and watching Pete try to walk in his heels and, you know, it was like he was on stilts, you know, but it did look very cool.
Now, may I ask, in terms of sort of rating, is it okay for family? What's your opinion on that?
I would say it's okay for progressive families.
Okay.
I'm bringing my children.
Okay.
I think the thing to remember is that this show, the film was 1994.
Yes.
So the attitudes and stereotypes and kind of political attitudes were very different to what they are now.
Yes.
So I'm happy to tell my kids this is what they thought then and look how far we've come.
Okay.
And it has changed a lot. You know, at the time when that film came out, it was such a big deal, obviously, because we were like, well, we didn't really have drag queens in Australia, not certainly for the general public. And now it feels like, you know, every time I go to a function or whatever, that's who the entertainment is.
Mm. Absolutely.
You know, plenty of it.
Oh, hallelujah for that. We've moved on.
Janelle, lovely to see you.
Oh, so nice to see you too.
You can get tickets to Priscilla, Queen of the Desert at ticketmaster.com.au. We'll see you up on stage, mate.